Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Hi, good evening, folks. Been an eventful week, and I'd like to welcome my co-host back again. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Alan. Good to hear your voice here. How are you?
Pretty good. I just sort of wanted to give an optimistic piece of optimistic news from my neck of the woods. Of course, I have this co-op-y produce club business that I run sort of as a hobby and sort of as an interest in food for myself.
Right.
And I distribute wholesale produce and even deeply discounted wholesale produce in the greater Philadelphia area to an mm-hmm. expanding group of people.
Yeah.
And it's always been so it's a learning process for me, and it's a learning process that I have to balance basically winning for my customers, winning them better quality food, and also winning them better prices. But I have to be really cognizant of also winning for myself because the produce club can't win for my customers if it is running itself financially into the ground. And so this last week, I continue to learn. I learn every single week. But this last week, I was actually able to I have this thing in my business that I call a ratio, and I say, hey, for the amount that I spent, here's the ratio of that number. So, of course, if I only spend, $200 or $300, I'm not going to be making a whole lot of money. But if I spend a certain volume dollar amount and I say, okay, I want my ratio to be 1.5 or between 1.5 and 1.7, I can start saying, well, I'm actually hitting that ratio in real practice. I'm actually getting that money back. And that this last week I was actually able to realize and be able to get a ratio like that back, which was actually the first week I've been able to get a really good ratio back. So
great.
You know, you basically do the preliminary financials and the numbers. Basically, the numbers don't lie, and the numbers leading up to this week were not survival numbers for the facility for the produce club. But this week was actually much better numbers, and I'm pretty happy with that.
That's great. And to see the growth and the communities being built by it, people coming together to support
the other really cool thing is that someone who had been turned on to the club by a friend of theirs, and this is in general, people just react this way to the club, is she sort of just said to me out of the blue, not knowing my situation, we have a portable air conditioning unit. Do you want it? We don't use it anymore. It's just gathering. It's gathering dust in the basement. And of course, my answer to things like that is, of course, yes, I'll take it. She just got one bag of groceries, one share for 1 week. It's not like she's been with me for months. And all of a sudden, her and her husband are over here. In their SUV, dropping me off a really nice air conditioning unit that I can hook up and use to cool down a plastic off cordoned area of my kitchen, and put myself in a little cooler unit in there. I have ways to extend my refrigeration now with coolers, and I have a lot of freezy blocks that I ask people for, and I do use a lot of plastic bags. But this is a very definite upgrade, but it also shows the spirit that everybody is just comes out with when they join the club.
That's awesome.
Do you have anything that you saw this week that you want to talk about?
Oh my gosh. Well, I am right now in the process of moving, a little high strung. The place I'm living right now is called Scotts Valley, and it's in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And I just found this gem of a place on half an acre piece of property, wooded in the mountains. Just beautiful, very peaceful. And it's about 10 minutes from Santa Cruz, which I love going and watching the sunsets and hanging out. Just a neat place. The boardwalk there is cool. But yeah, just getting settled into a new place, finding out all the creaks and the moans, you know, in the middle of the night when the furnace turns on and it clunks. You're hoping it's not somebody walking around in the other part of the house that you can't see. So where were you before? Well, I was in San Jose.
So you were in a metro area before?
Yeah, I was in, it's Silicon Valley, basically. It's where Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, eBay, I mean, you name it, and all walks of life are there, all the tech.
So were you in a suburbish type neighborhood or an urban type neighborhood before?
It's suburban. I mean, it was
okay.
So
basically, you're just going from a next door neighbor, sprawly type of suburbia, which is down in Silicon Valley proper, to much more of a remote neighborhood type thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's quiet. I was there, I believe, in maybe in the late 80s in that area.
Oh really?
And
yeah.
it's a beautiful area. So that's really awesome that you were able to, plus you're able to get to a place that you love so much, Santa Cruz.
Yeah. It feels very comforting and homey. I really like it. I'm missing my family, but I'm going to be seeing them next weekend. So
you get to move some of your items down from Portland with your mom next weekend, right?
Yeah. Mom and I are going to be driving a U-Haul truck down I-5, so stay off the road.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just a note for everybody out in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, put out a broadcast. Stay off the sidewalk.
Let's sort of slip back down into our what are we going to talk about this week?
And
Christy and I did a rehearsal for this last night, and it's a really interesting place we get to after 3 weeks. So
yeah.
where are we this week? And what we've been motivating, the ideas that we motivated in the first and the second show, have sort of brought us to, you know, the synergy and what we've been talking about and all those ideas have brought us to some conclusions. And the first conclusion is all of our experience is in the present.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is the past is an idea that doesn't really exist because the past is just training. And you've got all of that training right with you right now. So it's certainly one perspective that's certainly valid is to think of there actually being time. And I'm proposing a different perspective that there isn't any time and that only the present instant ever exists.
Right.
And that when that present instant is over, we still have what happened in that instant to call on. So, mm-hmm. for instance, as an analogy, you went to medical school for 4 years and then you did your internship for 3, and here you are, it's your first day, and you're walking on rounds at the hospital, and you encounter a patient, and you reach for your toolbox to be able mm-hmm. to interact with that patient. And literally, all of your toolbox is available. Not just the toolbox
right.
from medical school, not just the toolbox from the first X, Y, or whatever years of your life, but all of your toolbox that you have ever had. And what we can be, I don't really know how long that toolbox is, but all of your toolbox is available for you to interact with that patient. And even if we can't remember how deep our toolbox is, how many years of training we have had, and I propose that it's rather long and it's probably longer than this one lifetime, even if we can't remember it explicitly, our decisions are still guided by that incredible pool of knowledge, that incredible pool of experience. So I propose to the audience that this experience backstory that guides us is vast. And that's actually why we forget it, because we're doing almost the same thing over and over again just to get a little bit of a different entrance into the same material. And that basically says each one of us is an unfathomably deep treasure trove of information and experience.
Yeah.
And that makes each one of us, every single person, every single being, every single atom that's manifest here, that's speaking for a soul, and let's just propose that they all are, just for fun,
mm-hmm.
just to be inclusive, right? Just to, you know,
just
not
to
exclude
say, yeah.
any value, say, oh, we're going to marginalize that, and then you find out that that's really where the value was, right? So let's be
right.
super inclusive here. So that makes everything super-duper valuable,
right.
in invaluable. And also, every experience that we're going to have is valued equally. They're all experiences that we need to have to add to this treasure trove of experience. So how valuable and how long has it taken us to get to this glass of wine that we're going to sip right now called this experience?
Right.
It's taken a long time. It's just like, okay, it's like you've been moving over and moving over on this railroad track that you're on to finally get to this point right now to have this particular experience. But then that's what it is every second. So what I want to talk about or what I want to propose or my perspective, which changed in 2014 when I was at a very, very dark point in my life. All of a sudden, I was literally forced to understand at a very deep level what Rumi's verse out beyond the notions of right doing and the notions of wrongdoing, there is a field. I was forced to see very explicitly who we are and what that field is. And it's been a few years of me writing these things down and then basically saying to the sky, I wonder if I'm going to be able to say this to a wider audience.
Wow.
And then having Terry call me thinking I was a nutritional guy, and after 45 minutes of us talking together, him saying, you know, I like the person that you are better than my notion of this nutritional guy I was searching for.
Wow.
And I am literally so pleased to be able to be saying these words and putting them down in this media form and reaching some people. There isn't a better side of the coin. Both sides of the coin are experiences building toward, and you have this massive backstory. That means this experience that you're actually at right now is the goal of that experience-seeking, unfathomably valuable soul is actually built to this point to sip this glass of wine, and it has chosen it very carefully.
Wow.
That's the immensity. That's the unfathomable, unmeasurable immensity that I see we are. We have these experiences to be whole. We have these experiences not to be left or right or up or down on something. We have them to be all sides of every issue.
Correct.
To put it one way, to be all of the hues, all of the shades, to be all of the hues that it takes to be human.
Right.
And I think the language that we use is somewhat broken, we could say that, but it also gives a lot of things away. So when you're able to put these language puzzles together, that to say that we need to be all of the yous that it takes to be human just gives it away. It basically says, hello, this is obvious, right?
Human, yeah.
Yep. So
yeah, when you start looking at language, it's fascinating.
Yeah, if all of the yous are needed, if all of the yous that you see around you are needed, if all of those actually are containers of people, animals, rocks, plants that actually have so much deep experience in them that they're actually teachers, that they actually bring, you know, a curriculum of unmentionable depth within each one of those vessels. And they're all super duper valuable. What is discrimination? What is marginalization of anything? It's an idea or it's a way of behaving that's outmoded if you're understanding what I'm saying. It's something that what are animals to be exploited and mass produced and literally marginalized? What can we produce? What can we pollute as long as it's not near us?
Mm-hmm.
it's literally those ideas and those ways of conducting oneself literally are skins that we shed as immature ways of conducting ourselves once we begin to understand the concepts that I'm talking about. They become ways that you can no longer live. It's literally unthinkable that the most valuable thing in the world, which is everything, can be less valued than something else. You can't point at someone and say, oh, that person, it's obvious by that person's conduct that they're less valuable than so-and-so over here.
Right.
No, both items are valuable, but both items are invaluable. So it's basically when you look at yourself with these new eyes or this new mind that I'm motivating here as being this incredibly deep treasure trove of experience, and that each experience that you're coming upon is this massive treasure that you've built up this pool in order to actually be able to have, everyone else is the same.
Right.
And maybe you're bringing something here to our chat space, this game we're playing, this quote-unquote earth space that we're in. Maybe you're bringing something really different. And you don't know that you're teaching that, but maybe you are teaching. Maybe you are teaching that and you don't even know it because you know it so well that unconsciously you can just hold the space for that thing that you know.
Right.
And you don't know halfway around the world even who's holding the space for this arcane, weird thing that you're learning.
Correct, yeah.
So yep, there's there's no one that you can say, oh, we don't need that person, let's go wipe them out.
Right.
Or let's exclude them from the conversation, or let's not set a place at the table for them.
Yeah.
So
that's not nice. That's rude.
it's, but I want to look at this from the perspective of self-interest. I don't want anybody to have to consider someone else's feelings. I just want you to be able to consider your feelings. So if there's this teacher that you've waited a very long time to be in their same space so that you can learn from them, if their population is being marginalized and they're actually going to be excused in the next few days, you're not going to have that teacher anymore.
Right.
So that's kind of the world that we live in, and that's pretty interesting to see that.
It is, yeah. Going on right now.
Well, it's interesting that we're here motivating these ideas, and it's actually going on in the real world. It's not uncommon to have that happen in your life. You know, the inside mirrors the outside, or whatever you want to say. But
right. here we are,
and the Muslims are being told not to bother coming, not to bother getting on the airplanes, right?
Yeah, you and I were having our conversation last night, and as soon as we were done, I saw that on my news feed and thought, wow, this is all pretty, it's syncing up really nice. Interesting.
So in seeing the investment that you've made in your past and to have experiences and to see that it's very possible that you can be a master in something, and you're present here and you're teaching a whole bunch of people how to do that thing. And maybe someone is also learning something in another part of the world from you. And it's really possible, and I just thought of this, that we're having our day-to-day life, but there's all this other information exchange going on, and we're unconscious of it.
Right.
We're not even tuned into the learning channel. We're tuned into the day-to-day, get up and go and get in the car channel.
Right.
But what we do know is we do know these macroscopic events, and we do know the environment that we live in, and sort of what's going on in the larger political sense. So if everyone does this teaching with their incredible backstory, we can sort of say something, but then we can go over it again. We can say that the experience that we want to have is laid down by the divine with their souls, and that we follow in their footsteps, literally learning from them, and that they hold the game space open, or when they're docked in this game space, we can learn those things that they bring to us. But let's turn that, that's an interesting statement, but let's turn that on its head by identifying who those divine are and who's bringing this vast treasure trove of knowledge for us to exchange here in this, this information exchange space that's open somehow in somewhere, which is undefined. And we can identify those great treasure troves of knowledge by looking in the mirror. And then by looking at every single person we pass every day, and then by looking at the trees and the birds and the deer and the life in the oceans and the dolphins and the whales, et cetera, et cetera. We can look at it all and say, to be inclusive and to really give full credit to all the teachers that are here, I'm going to include all of the diversity. So that's what the road of life is. The road of life is to seek more teachers and to seek an environment that has more teachers and has more choices so that we can learn more and have more varieties of ready experience waiting for us. Still there, Christy?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Alan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're on.
Oh, not sure what happened there.
Okay. I'm not sure either, but you were off for a little while.
Yeah, I got dropped for a while, the call. I fell off the call. I got back on, and I think we're good now.
Oh, you got completely dropped off?
Yeah, I had to call back.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I noticed the dead air and got you back on.
You did. Thank you. But yeah, I caught the robustness of life. It's essential. It's essential to everything. Vegetation, humans, we're all kind of dependent on each other for learning and growing, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, you weren't gone for that long then.
Yeah. I hear ya.
So what this brings us to is it brings us to the bottom of the hour and a good breaking point. And so I'll see you on the other side of the break. The song is Star of the Bard, Green and Gray.
All right.
Thank you. around the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white, priest, hear what I say. I'm green and gray.
Hey.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Hi, Christy.
Hello. Back again.
Okay, great. So, basically where we are is in a place where every experience that you have literally is your bliss, because it's the end result of all of the preparation that's gone before it to actually get to a point where you could have the sequence that you're having right now. And knowing what we've just motivated and knowing how deep the backstory is, every second of your life is this immeasurable accomplishment.
Yeah.
And we're having this conscious experience, and we also motivated in the first half of the show that the conscious experience might not be all the stuff that's going on. There might be a great, you know, a massive information flowing back and forth that we're not even, you know, tuned into.
Right. Consciously, yeah.
So everybody, I mean everybody, so every particle, atom, leaf, critter, etc., drop of water, is walking its own road of experience and has an equivalent, if we don't want to enter into being exclusive or excluding or marginalizing other parties, and we don't want to do that, they're having an equivalently important experience for them as the one you're having for yourself. But let's concentrate on ourselves and say, love your experience. Really love who you are.
Yeah.
Even though you might be doing things in a goofy way, and even though this society might want to point a finger at you, you can leave that perspective of how things run in the past, because your next event and your next stumbling up the stairway, or your next getting the cup of coffee spilled on your lap.
Oh boy!
That experience, in the way that it's taking place, is the one that you exactly need. It wasn't supposed to happen that it was supposed to take place, and you weren't supposed to be put in the embarrassing situation. No, exactly the way it happened was the one that you needed. So what happens with that is a lot of weight, I'm really hopeful, a lot of weight can lift from your shoulders when everyone who listens to this understands that it is the way it was meant to be. And just because this society wants to say, oh, it was a lesser or a poorer experience, is this society's definition without understanding what's really going on.
Right.
So I hope you're able to say, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, this is my life. This is where I love where I am. I love what I'm going to do tomorrow. I have relieved myself of the idea given to me by this society that what I'm going to do tomorrow is painful, and that what I'm going to do, what I'm going to experience tomorrow is something I'd rather not do, because it's your road and it's your experience and it is of immeasurable value.
Yep.
So what is the result of this perspective? This perspective gives you back your dignity if you want to
mm-hmm.
have this as your perspective. This perspective says no matter where you are or what you're doing, you're a divine soul. You're a soul gathering experience into itself that it needs. It is conscious that it needs it, and society's definitions are meaningless. It's the experience that a soul needs, and it's going to have it. Not only do you have this deep self-respect and awe of yourself, but you have it of every other person. And no other person is someone who you can say, that person is a so-and-so, or I wish that person would change their life,
right.
Or that person is doing something that's wrong.
Right.
Because they are all on the road of life, and they're having an experience that they need to have.
Exactly. Yeah.
So to appreciate, you can appreciate your goals and your needs that you have,
mm-hmm.
but you can also appreciate other people's goals and their needs.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We're
so
each having our
it's
own
really interesting.
Experience.
What was that?
I'm just reiterating that we are all having our own experience, and not to respect yours, you have to respect others as well.
Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is I want to say, I don't live in someone else's skin.
Right.
And so I'm going to say that I want to make my vision or what's in my heart happen for me. And if I do something, the only result for someone, the only result that can happen for someone else is that they can have an experience, and maybe the experience that they have is impacted by something generated by me.
Right.
But since they're physically present, the experience that's impacted by something that I generated that they're having is nothing but a gift for them.
Right.
Because literally they're having an experience that they've waited a very, very long time to have, regardless of whether I put input into the system or not. So I'm going to come back to myself, and I'm going to say, I have a vision that I want to have. And I think that that's the vision that I should follow, because if I don't do the next thing on my list, it's going to just stay on my list as the next thing to do, and there isn't going to be any progress made on my list. And if a whole bunch of other people, you know, all of these people in the society here, your friends
mm-hmm.
and neighbors, don't follow the next thing on their list. They just go to work every day and, you know, do those things instead of
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, I want to do that thing that's on my list that's really deep inside of me that I really want to do. We're sort of going to be stuck in a whirlpool cycle, where maybe nothing moves forward.
Interesting.
So, like I said at the end of the last show, I think it's time for everyone to say their next line and to literally get on with what they need to do next. And the thing that Christy and I discussed last night was that someone has given themselves permission to operate in the wider space.
Right.
The space without morals, the space that, quote unquote, the rest of us don't have access to. And of course, those are the people who are, quote unquote, big finger, quote unquote, those are the people who were ruling.
The ruling class, yeah.
Yeah, so they've given themselves the dispensation to make the experience and make the game space jump through the hoops that it's jumping through.
Right.
And I'm looking around, and I've been looking around since I started to be conscious of how the game was being played, and I'm looking around at their resume, which is thousands of years old. You go back to the empires and the empire mm-hmm. centers, the capitals that were on the African continent. And what's left of those empire centers are the great deserts of the African continent. They actually they overused the ecosystems so much and polluted the ecosystems so much that no life grows there anymore. And what they did, instead of remediating the situation at any point, is there was probably a famine and there was probably a great war, but they just pulled up stakes and went someplace else.
Right.
And they pulled up stakes and they went to places like the Nile. And everybody sees today that the Nile is a vast desert.
Yeah.
But it wasn't during the time when they were ruling, because I mean, you don't exactly go to an area and say, hey, we're going to set down the center of our civilization in the middle of a wasteland.
Right.
So
the pyramids.
You literally start to be able to see a record of conduct that goes back thousands of years, and the record of conduct is to make fertile oases and paradises into deserts,
right,
to destroy ecosystems. And now we're shocked today to encounter the fact that animal agriculture is destroying the Amazon, or that possibly there's a concept called global warming,
uh-huh,
which is mostly the result of decreasing soil fertility around the world. Mm-hmm. More grass, less trees, more grass. But literally, what is another word for decreasing soil fertility? And what I just said was there's this thousands of year old resume of making paradises into deserts. And that is the same words in another, using different words for decreasing soil fertility.
Wow.
So my reaction is, or my realization, not my reaction, I'm just looking at the evidence, my reaction to the resume that the rulers are putting out that's literally thousands of years old is that the goal or the end game of the way they do business is a desert. It's death of all life. And, I know that there are a few things that you know, there are a few bits and pieces of life in deserts, but as opposed to the verdant landscape of possible life forms in a rainforest or in a climax temperate forest, it's very, very, very slim. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to tie in what I said at the beginning as to how many teachers and options for learning and skilling up do you want to have on your world? And my reaction is I want to have one that's going sort of, I want to have a future in my lifetime or lifetimes after this lifetime. I want to have more teachers and more life, and the present direction of society, the present direction of the rulers, what they've put out there as their track record is a decrease in the number of teachers and the number of life and the number of lives and the amount of life in the space. So what that has caused me to do is it's caused me to say, I actually have an understanding, I believe, of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and I want to react and build something that does things differently.
Right.
So in my life, I basically started with a small thing called the Produce Club. It's mm-hmm. a small, you know, it's a small thing, but it stems from this vision of, I don't really want to go to a protest where I just point a finger at something that I know is broken. I want to actually present I want to present a real alternative, or an alternative mm-hmm. that I believe is real in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and start walking along that pathway and see if other people are interested in joining me.
Right. And food is a good way of doing that.
Well, I think that it's interesting that the, from what I can see, the quote-unquote Earth chat room has been
right.
doing business a certain way for a long time. I don't know how long it's been doing things this way, but it's sort of been removing more and more teachers and more skill sets and marginalizing more and more hues.
Right.
To the point where it's a pretty, I would say it's a lot poorer of a classroom than maybe it used to be.
Yeah. We can only talk about one. Certain things in this classroom.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm not sure that what I'm saying is correct. I certainly
right.
invite other people to make comment on it and
yeah.
to say this is interesting and I agree with it. Let's build on it. Or just to say, hey, Alan, you didn't consider this. And I think you're not correct. But I have thought about this for quite a number of years, and just considered the standards in the field. You know, read the standards in the field on these matters. So I think what I'm saying is reasonable.
I do too.
So
and it'd be interesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
I would like comment to see what people are seeing. They're seeing is going on as well.
Right. So once again, I encourage everybody to look deep into your heart. Say your next line, do your next thing, and also look at the people who are running, the people who we, the powerless, have given dispensation to run the game, and look at their track record and decide if that's the way you want to keep going, or if you want to look into alternatives. And by all means, don't look into my alternative. Look into your heart and go there and bring forth what you have to offer, because that's what you're here for.
Exactly.
And Christy, how can anybody get in contact with you?
I have Facebook. It's Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, last name is Shepherd, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D.
And my name is Alan Ritter, and my website for the Produce Club, if you're in the greater Philadelphia area, is produceclub.us. That will take you to a Facebook page right now, but if you're not in the Philadelphia area, please look up the Produce Club or Produce Club Americas. I can also be contacted via email at RITTERALAN@gmail.com. So that's Ritter period Alan ALAN 88 at gmail.com.
And you should be able to comment as well below the podcast.
Oh, yes. There's certainly a comment space below the podcast on SRUN, blogtalkradio.com, SRUN. Leave us comments. How do you find the show? Is this interesting? Does it allow you to recover your perspective upon yourself and really hug yourself and appreciate yourself more than you did before you heard this program or the series of programs? Have a really great night and a really great week. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Take care.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.